When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The South Carolina women are the nation's only undefeated D1 team. They highlight our ESPN Thursday basketball doubleheader, squaring off against the Lady Vols in Knoxville. Coverage begins tonight at 7 Eastern. Also tonight, Caitlin Clark is 8 points away from breaking the NCAA women's scoring record as Iowa takes on Michigan. In the latest episode of the ESPN Plus original series, Sue's Places, Clark talks with Sue about how her mentality has fueled her rise both on and off the court.
And obviously our fans, they go crazy whenever we're making long threes, which probably just urges me to continue to shoot them. I feel like at times now our crowd especially knows, like they can see it in my eyes when I'm crossing half court, like there's no way she's passing the ball, like this is going up kind of thing. So I think it's just like my confidence is just kind of built up over my college career, and now it's just something that's a part of my game, and you know, it wouldn't really be the same if I didn't have that.
More of Sue's conversation with Caitlin Clark. Check out episode 3 of Sue's Places, streaming now on ESPN Plus. And with that, we welcome you back to Get Up. We are live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. D. Wood is here. Huge squad put together today. Tons to get to. Well, let's begin with the game of the night last night. The Warriors and the Clippers. Warriors come in on a hot streak. The Clippers right now looking like they may be the best team in the entire NBA. 3 minutes left in the third. Warriors are up by 10. Gary Payton with a nice save. Steph Curry knocking down the three. He's the first player ever with 7 threes in 4 straight games. Warriors an 11-point lead to the end of the third. Early in the fourth quarter, though, this is where it turns. You're going to see a moment here between Mason Plumlee and Brandon Podziemski. And Plumlee with a bunch of hacks here. He ultimately is going to be given a flagrant one. So Draymond and Paul George get into it. At the end of it all, Tyronn Lue is ejected. And as I show it to you again here, Plumlee does seem to just be sort of hacking away. There's Tyronn Lue getting thrown out of the game. And then here's what all the fuss was about. That's one, that's two hacks there. It's a bit much. One way or another, the Clippers then get fired up from that point forward. 5 minutes left in the fourth. Clippers have a 1-point lead. Steph will knock down his 9th three of the game. He continues to be ridiculous. 41 points, giving the Warriors their last lead, because then the Clippers would take over. Norman Powell at 12 points in the fourth quarter, 21 for the game. Here he'll knock down another three. The Clippers win it by 5. Harden said the ejection really turned things around. Meanwhile, on the other side, Steph Curry with this honest assessment.
Very average. Very average doesn't get it done in this league. So you gotta, you know, we need to make a run, hit a stride that you win every game here and steal some on the road. But we've been very average so far, so got to regain that home court fear that we've, you know, been accustomed to in the past.
As we go to the break, the Warriors are the literal definition of average. They're 26-26. Yesterday was the 6th game they've lost this year after leading by as many as 15. You look at the numbers there, they're 5.5 games behind the Pelican for the 6th seed, which of course would avoid the play-in. We'll have much more on them and the Lakers coming up later in this program. In the meantime, let's play a game of Fact or Fiction NFL QB Edition. D. Wood, here we go. Justin Fields. If I said he would make the Falcons Super Bowl contenders, is that fact or fiction?
Yeah, I'm going to go fiction. I know we talk about all the weapons and down in Atlanta, and you add Justin Fields to it, you know how dynamic it is. But listen, you talk about all the teams that's in the NFC right now, the Detroit, you know, Detroit Lions, the San Francisco 49ers, the Green Bay Packers are coming. I don't know if adding Justin Fields is going to get them over the teams that I just named.
Let me go to Russell Wilson. Tim, you talked about him earlier. If I said that putting him on the Steelers would make them Super Bowl contenders, is that fact or fiction?
That's fiction for me. I don't think I'm seeing what everybody else is seeing in Russell Wilson, that he's like this difference maker now. He's played a long time. He's certainly on the backside of things, maybe pretty far on the backside of things. And I just don't know that he's the leader that that type of team needs.
You're saying he's not on the back nine. He's more like on 17 teams, something like that. Harry, how about Dak Prescott? If I said he should want out of Dallas, would that be fact or fiction?
I'm going to go fact. Sometimes you don't know what you have until it's gone and you start missing it. But let me give a major shout out to his agent, Todd Franz, for putting that no trade clause. And also, you couldn't be franchise tagged in his contract. So now the ball is in Dak Prescott's court. Play his game.
That's right. Look, we all remember, because we covered it at great length here, when Emmitt went through, we're about to get to Emmitt Smith, when Dak Prescott went through his previous contract struggles getting a deal done with the Cowboys. In the end, he won so convincingly. I mean, as Harry just said, he didn't win that one by decision. He won that one by knockout. He has a no-trade clause. He has a no-franchise tag. He has almost $60 million guaranteed dollars against the cap next season. So he basically controls the Cowboys. And they are a team in some degree of turmoil. And their most legendary star knows it. Emmitt Smith, if you haven't seen these comments, he had very strong words about the current state of the Cowboys. And D. Wood was very fired up about them earlier when we played them this morning. He said, "I'm tired of being sold on what the Cowboys could be. I'm tired. I've had enough of it because I'm more about what the Cowboys really are and who we really are and who we were. Nobody wants to fight no more. Nobody wants to fight hard anymore. They want to say, oh, we're the Cowboys. Tell me how good I am. Check out my Instagram posts. See me on my podcast. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm everything without doing anything." And everybody's patting them on the back. People want to give them so much without doing nothing. And what they're living off of is what happened in the past, not what's going down right now. Dean Wood, what do you make of what Emmitt Smith is saying about this collection of Cowboys?
He's absolutely right, Greeny. He's absolutely right. Like, listen, when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, everything is almost like in relation to the Cowboys of the 90s. Those Cowboys won three championships. That was a dynasty. These Cowboys, they haven't achieved anything. They're a good football team. I give them that. They're a good football team. But they haven't done anything. They haven't done absolutely anything to warrant for us to talk about the Dallas Cowboys the way we talk about them, okay? Listen, I'm not against people going out there and doing podcasts and doing great. All that, it's all good. But when you haven't accomplished anything, when you haven't won anything, it leaves you open for this type of criticism. And you're hearing it from one of their legendary players because he knows what he had to sacrifice in order to get to the status that he got to. Is he seeing the same sacrifice from the current set of Dallas Cowboys? I think that's what Emmitt Smith is really talking about right now.
I do too. And this is a really interesting. So, Tim, let's put all the nonsense aside and let's dive into it. There are, when you come into the National Football League and you play well, you become a star. When you come to the Dallas Cowboys and you play well, you become a celebrity. And there's a big difference between being a star and being a celebrity. So Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb, who are young players, this is not a knock on them. In fact, this is not because of them. They've come in, they've played great, and they've become celebrities disproportionate to what their accomplishments have been. The real question, Tim, is do you think that has anything to do with the Cowboys' lack of getting to the next level? They have won games. They don't get out of the first round of the playoffs. They looked awful in their game against Green Bay this year. The stuff Emmitt is talking about, the, oh, look at my Instagram, look at my podcast. Do you think that is part of the reason this team hasn't gone farther in the playoffs?
I think there is an element of the microscope, the scrutiny, the spotlight, whatever you want to call it, that can get to certain guys. I would just say this, like, you know, Emmitt's, you know, kind of talking about that, but like, I really don't know that it's necessarily directed at CD or Micah or Dak Prescott, for that matter. Remember, a team's not made up of just three guys. It's maybe the other guys that are on the team that they think they are celebrities and they haven't had a 100-catch season like, you know, CD Lamb has. They haven't, you know, been one of the best and most dominant defensive players like Micah Parsons has been. They haven't been, you know, superstar quarterback the way Dak Prescott has been. And so, like, I do think in some ways, like, Emmitt saying it doesn't mean that it's directly related to Dallas's star players. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it could also be directed at, like, the other guys on the football team that think they're stars that they haven't really played well. So, look, I do believe that there's an element of look, because you're not winning, we're going to focus on some of the stuff that's going on at every other team, including teams that do win. So, yeah, look, I think a bigger probably piece of it for me would be, like, know what to say, when to say it, because we've seen kind of in the Super Bowl week, guys maybe not representing the star and what you want them to represent the right way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Harry, how about it?
Yeah, I think also when it all boils down, the best players on the football team in the biggest moments, they have to make the plays. That's what we've seen from Troy Aikman. That's what we've seen from Emmitt Smith. That's what we've seen from Darren Woodson. That's what we've seen from Michael Irvin. That's what we've seen from the best players in the Dallas Cowboys from the past. Now you move to the future. We have not seen that from the best players across the board in the biggest moments, which is the playoffs, make the plays necessary to put their team over the hump.
So that's fair. And Troy said it in an interview recently. I forget exactly when, like a month ago or so. He said, fair or unfair, the players, and particularly the quarterbacks, are going to be remembered for whether they won or they lost. I mean, Troy Aikman's career is defined more than anything by the fact that he won three championships. Yep. And until these guys win something, their career is going to be defined, fairly or unfairly, more for what they haven't done than what they do. And so very quickly, just to go back, I mean, Harry began this conversation by saying maybe the best thing for Dak would be to be out of there. I mean, Tim, it's a fascinating situation. We've talked at length about how he has all the leverage in the world going into this situation. If you were in his shoes, what do you think you would want?
Look, I think you want to stay the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And he had a great year with Mike McCarthy running the offense. And so, like, I think if you're Dak, you want to be there. You're going to make a ton of money once again. Look, the Cowboys should have to pay for the fact that, you know, they've made you be patient this entire time through these contract, processes where he was hitting certain benchmarks to get to this point. So, look, that's what you should want to do if you're Dak. I would just say this, like, we even just had the graphic up. Like, you know, the star players' family members have been critical of the team's lack of success. Like, I think part of the issue ends up being, and like, all the other nonsense isn't necessarily guys doing podcasts. Travis Kelce's doing podcasts, but Travis Kelce's mom isn't ripping Patrick Mahomes. So I think sometimes, like, the outside noise is the stuff that, like maybe squash that stuff. That isn't necessarily a team culture dynamic. That's like a relative culture dynamic.
Can you imagine that storyline? Donna Kelce has called out Patrick Mahomes. That's a headline I'm dying to do one day. But all kidding aside, say what you will about this. The Kansas City Chiefs absorbed what has to be as significant a distraction as you could possibly have. They essentially took the world's biggest mega celebrity and incorporated her into their team, for lack of a better way of putting it, for the last year, and still won the Super Bowl. So this stuff, Tim, this stuff can be overcome if you do it right.
Yeah, and so I think, if you think about it, the Hunt family is kind of doesn't appear, you know, to be leading the way in that type of stuff. Who is? Andy is. Andy's like, right. Hey, you know, he makes fun of it. I knew her before Travis knew her. That's how he handled it. In Dallas, the head coach isn't leading the way through it. In Dallas, Jerry Jones is leading the way through all of that type of stuff. It needs to start there. So when a player's family member says something about someone on the team, the owner who's in charge on this needs to lead the way and go in and say, hey, like, you got to knock it off. Otherwise, like, we're going to silence everybody on this.
And at least to our knowledge, there doesn't seem to be a lot of that going on. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, after the 49ers collapsed in the Super Bowl, they've decided they know whose fault it is, as they have made a firing here. So was this a scapegoat kind of move? We'll talk about that in just a moment. Plus, the Warriors made a big push for LeBron at the deadline. Did LeBron make a mistake not joining forces with Steph and the Warriors? We'll talk about that right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
The delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. The next game is called Fill in the Blank. All right, Tim Hasselbeck, here we go. The Chiefs' 2024 season will end with what?
Another Super Bowl championship, and I'm saying that because, like, I think we're just at the point now, a little bit like we maybe got to in New England with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, to say, like, all right, the field or these guys, and I think it may be a safer bet to take these guys when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback and Andy Reid is your head coach.
And that's reasonable. Why would you bet against them after what we just saw them do? Meanwhile, D. Wood, then the biggest challenger to Patrick Mahomes is who?
Joe Burrow. Mm. Joe Burrow is the one guy that is, like, literally unafraid of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's gone into Arrowhead and beaten Patrick Mahomes multiple times, and in the AFC Championship game to go on to the Super Bowl. I mean, this dude is, like, his blood pressure doesn't seem to go up at all. His only thing, he's just got to stay healthy. But when he's healthy, he's that guy.
Are we worried about his thumb? I feel like I'm hearing whispers that we're worried about his thumb. Let's keep a close eye on that injury. It's not a good injury for a quarterback to have, obviously. Meanwhile, Harry, finish this. The 49ers firing their defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, as they did yesterday, is what?
Shocking and also mind-blowing. I didn't see this one coming. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, if you felt like he wasn't, from a schematic standpoint, the guy for your football team, I thought you would have known that during the interview process before I hired him as a defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, that was for the, if you're wondering why is Harry bringing that up, it's because that's what was suggested yesterday, that, well, the previous defensive coordinators, Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans, both of whom parlayed their success there into head coaching jobs, ran one basic style of defense, and Steve Wilks generally is a little bit different. But we showed you some numbers earlier, and we can show them to you again. I mean, the numbers that the 49er defense put on the field this year were better than the ones they had put up the previous season with D'Amico Ryans as their defensive coordinator. That is what it is. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to let him keep his job. At the end of the day, though, Tim, it just has a feeling of a scapegoating. And whether they intend it that way or not, it's almost impossible not to come out of a Super Bowl that your team loses, and then 3 days later you fire the defensive coordinator. I can show you the numbers quickly. Here they are. I mean, those are the numbers on the left. D'Amico Ryans, the two previous seasons. The column on the right is just definitively better. D'Amico Ryans became the head coach of the Texans, and Steve Wilks just got fired yesterday. There's an element of this, Tim, that feels like he's being made a scapegoat, whether they intended to look that way or not.
Yeah, and honestly, if they intend to make it look that way, then all anybody has to do is open their eyes a little bit and look at that full screen you just showed, look at the production of the defense, watch that football game to say, like, Steve Wilkes not the reason that the Niners lost the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody with half a brain believes that that's the case. And so, look, to me, this doesn't make much sense. Feels like it has to be a personality thing more than anything else. And I think the really tough part about this for Steve Wilkes is that, look, he just coordinated a defense that did a very good job in a Super Bowl game and really had done a good job all season long. And the hiring cycle for positions like the one he's been relieved of aren't available right now. And so for that, the Niners put him in a really tough spot.
Absolutely. Look, let's just go over what happened in the Super Bowl the other day. His defense held Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to one touchdown in regulation. That one touchdown came immediately after the botched, it's not really a muffed punt, whatever you want to call it, the ball hits off the foot. Outside of that, Kansas City did nothing but kick field goals. The 49ers did that despite the fact that one of their most important players on that defense tore his Achilles running onto the field in the first half of that game. They run out of gas in the second half. The head coach, meanwhile, is the one who makes the unimaginably terrible decision to take the ball first in overtime. He's the one who doesn't use his timeouts at the end of the second quarter, which also doesn't make any sense at all. Steve Wilkes is not calling the offensive plays at the beginning of the third quarter when they had every opportunity to put the game away. Kyle Shanahan went a lot farther. Look, I respect Kyle Shanahan as a coach greatly. He's a terrific coach. But he had a very bad day on Sunday. Much, much, much worse than his defensive coordinator did.
Yeah, and listen, I think there's just been a lack of accountability as it relates to Kyle Shanahan. Listen, you know, the last time they were in Super Bowl, double digit lead against Kansas City,
yep.
Lost. This time around, they had the lead, lost again. 5 all pros on offense, plus your quarterback was tremendous. Brandon Ayuk was, you know, 1,300 plus yard receiver on offense. So you had all this firepower. And what happened to them offensively? So as much as, you know, that's the thing that's just so befuddling about the situation. The defense did its job. Where was the offense in the Super Bowl? And I just say, again, the lack of accountability of Kyle Shanahan in these big moments kind of reminds me of Andy Reid from Philadelphia.
Yeah, in the early days, Andy Reid in Philly, I guess the entirety of his time in Philly, he was known for getting the horse to water and not being able to get it to drink, and that is sort of the way that Kyle Shanahan is perceived now. But, Harry, I mean, the reality is the thread of commonality of all of these blown leads is that his team is always winning going into the fourth quarter, and they always get blown out there. And that's not about the defense, or certainly not exclusively about the defense. It is about the play calling on the offensive side that contributes to it. It happened in the 28-3 Super Bowl. It happened in this game for sure against Kansas City. That to me is definitely, if you're asking me, how did they lose this game? That's how they lost this game.
Well, also, Greeny, I would mention the first Super Bowl versus the Kansas City Chiefs where you had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. That's after a Patrick Mahomes interception, right? But if you look at this game, you come out the first drive of the third quarter, your defense gets you an interception, and you get the ball at the 44-yard line, and the San Francisco 49ers can't even get 3 points. They scored 0 points off of the 2 turnovers that they were able to get. Also, is it Steve Wilkes' fault? From a protection standpoint, right, when you decided to motion, what Steve Spagnuolo decided he was going to do is at times they were going to have free runners and blitzers, and the protection wasn't right. So all these things combined together with Christian McCaffrey fumbling, Jake Moody missing an extra point, because if that extra point is made, maybe we're talking about a different situation at the end of, in the regulation, and the Kansas City Chiefs can't kick a field goal. They have to go for a touchdown on a final play. Do the San Francisco 49ers, do they win it on that final play or not? So all these things factor into the 49ers losing that game. I just can't see this one being on Steve Wilkes.
Absolutely. Steve Spagnuolo outcoached Kyle Shanahan late in the Super Bowl, and Kyle Shanahan fired his defensive coordinator 3 days later. We continue in a moment. The offseason pressure cooker is heating up, so we'll go over the 5 teams that must win this offseason this year. Where is the pressure? That debate is just getting started up. Plus, Steph and LeBron on the same team. Oh, it could have happened. Did LeBron make a mistake staying in L.A.? We'll dive into that with Zach Lowe, but first, we'll put him to the test. Here we go, Zach Lowe from Sneaky Hembo. LeBron James has the most all-NBA selections among active players with 19. Which active player has the second most all-NBA selections? The answer is next.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we're back, bottom of the hour. There's a lot. Everyone in the studio is throwing guesses around everywhere. Damian Woody is racking his brain. This is a good question from Hembo Zach. So LeBron James, it's actually the all-time record. 19 all-NBA selections, more than any player in history. Among active players, Zach, who has the next most?
So it can't be Steph Curry, or else Hembo wouldn't be asking the question. Then I started racking my brain thinking of names. And you know who we forgot about because he's been injured, because he's a bench player right now? The point guard, Chris Paul, has been in the league forever. Lots of all-NBA selections are going Chris Paul.
That's right. He got it right. That is so good. I was sure it was Kevin Durant. There was no way it was going to be Steph because that wouldn't be sneaky. So Kevin Durant has 10, Steph Curry 9, Russell Westbrook 9, Chris Paul 11. Way to go, Zach Lowe. All right. Score that one, a win for humanity. Anytime Hembo loses, I'm happy. Okay, let's run the floor with a bunch of other stuff around the NBA here. Monica McNutt is up early with us from Indianapolis this morning in the All-Star game. Monica, who is the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East? The Knicks, the Bucks, or the 76ers?
All right, Greeny, so I know you can't answer this question without considering health, but even if Joel Embiid does get healthy, I think he's going to need some time to get back to MVP form. For me, it is the Knicks if they are healthy. They are the deepest of the teams that you just mentioned. They've got scoring off the bench, and they've got a tremendous defense all around.
You agree with that, Zach?
I got to see it before I anoint the Knicks. I think I like her reasoning, but right now I'm going to default to Giannis and the Bucks despite their raggedy season.
Yeah, it's been an up-and-down year. The addition of Doc there, they started to play a little bit better. We'll see who's healthy when we get to the end of the year. I think a lot of people are hoping Monica is right, but we'll find out. Zach, next question is for you. If you're starting a franchise today and I give you either Wembanyama or Doncic to start it with, who are you taking?
Well, look, the real answer is I'll take either and be the most excited person in the world. But if you're making me answer this question, you're hurting my soul. I'm just going to take the younger guy who's under contract for longer, who does like 10 preposterous things on both ends of the floor every day. Give me Wemby, and I'll figure it out from there.
Now, Wemby dominant on both ends of the floor. How about you, Monica?
I actually was going to go Doncic because the position is clear. He orchestrates everybody else. As exciting as Wemby is, I still think there's a lot to figure out around him. I think you hit quicker if you go Luka Doncic, as we've seen.
I could watch that pass on a loop for the rest of time.
Seriously, right?
Monica, we'll go to you on this one here. The Lakers and the Warriors, we had the story yesterday about the possibility of LeBron and Steph maybe having teamed up. Which one is a more legitimate title chance right now, the Lakers or the Warriors?
I got to go Lakers. Greeny, we started the show in, what, late October when the season started? And the thing that still sticks out to me is that the Warriors are small. Now, small ball worked for them for years. They've got four championships. But I think if you look at the contenders in the West, size is a problem.
So let's talk about the Lakers for a minute here. We talked about the LeBron and Steph teaming up thing earlier. And look, as much as we can fantasize about how much fun it might have been, and everyone yelled at me saying they thought it was a bad idea except for Monica, all that aside, the Lakers, there was a moment in time not that long ago, Zach, that we had a play, no, not a play-in, excuse me. We had the in-season tournament, and the Lakers won it. And we were thinking, wow, this is a really good team. And then they went through about a six-week stretch there where suddenly we thought, wow, they're not a good team at all. Now they've gotten hot. They didn't make the moves at the trade deadline that we thought they might. We'll see. They've gotten hot here going into the All-Star break. Like, could we be living in a world when we get to April where we say, you know what, the Lakers have kind of figured this thing out, and they've got a real shot to do something this spring?
Well, the first thing they're going to have to do is get out of the play-in tournament, and that's hard in itself, and it's pretty unlikely that they get to the sixth seed. So their road is going to be pretty difficult. The West is better at the top than it was last season when they made their run. I'll never close the door on LeBron and Anthony Davis, but what happened last night with the Warriors is a reminder of how hard it is, how great you have to be to make an actual long, deep playoff run. The in-season tournament is awesome. They were amazing, credit to them, but that's one game, then a week later, one game, then a week later, one game. Consistency is what you need. Consistent elite play over weeks and months to get where the Lakers want to go, where the Warriors want to go. And neither of those teams has demonstrated the ability to do that. One game, two games, fine. Their ceilings are that high. But to beat those kind of teams that are sitting at the top of the Western Conference four times, then beat another team four times, neither team has a record that has demonstrated that capability yet.
And it's that every other day rhythm. If there's one thing I learned or had reinforced, Monica, as I was hosting the shows for the last 2 years, it's just what a grind it becomes when we get there. There's this misnomer now. Oh, team, the playoffs, it gets easier because you have, it does not get easier. It was tiring just traveling with them, and I wasn't even playing.
So that part, Greeny.
I was exhausted by the time it was over, and I wasn't even out there. But I'll give you the same basic question here, Monica. I have a funny feeling LeBron and the Lakers are going to be heard from again by the time we get to April. Am I just fantasizing about something that isn't real?
I don't think so, Greeny, but it's how long will we be heard from them, similar to what Zach said. This is a team that could steal one in the play-in. This is a team that could create some havoc in their first-round series. But beyond that, we've seen over the last couple of seasons, to your point, that the consistency in a series is not necessarily there for the Lakers. For as exciting as it was for them to make that push last year, we still ended up debating whether or not Anthony Davis was locked in every other game in that series, right? And so largely with this team not making very many changes, you could see the same sort of questions coming back. And so I just think that they have savvy, they have know-how, but the teams at the top of the West are so good. And I don't know that that will account for the talent and the schemes on both sides of the ball that you have when you look at those top teams. For as good as they've been in February, the one game that they lost, it was to the Denver Nuggets. I mean, there's a reason that happened.
Well, look, I mean, while we're sitting here and we're basically talking about the two defining stars of their generation, I mean, the question is about windows being open. LeBron, AD, let's see what they can figure out. Golden State has a different feel to it. Zach, when Steve Kerr said last year, our team maxed out by making it to the second round. I don't know that there's anything I see in them right now, you correct me if I'm wrong, that suggests that their maximum, their ceiling, should be significantly higher this year. Is the window for these Warriors, as we have known and loved them over the last decade or so, is that closed?
It's like open this much with the hope that in the offseason, with a change, with Kuminga and Pajemski getting even better, it can open this much. But look, again, consistency. The Warriors have found their identity again with Draymond Green at center. The young guys are contributing. On the right nights, the ball's flying around. It looks like the Warriors of old. And then the Clippers come to town without Kawhi Leonard and come back and beat them. And you remember, Kuminga's young. Pajemski's young. Klay Thompson, bad game last night. Andrew Wiggins, bad game last night. It's been the story of the season. They have not been able to find a consistent gear against the very best teams over and over again. And they're 500 now. That's what they are. They can go on a heater for a week, a month even. But to go deep in the playoffs, they just need to hit that gear much more consistently than they've been. So right now, I'll just go like this with the window out of respect to Steph Curry.
All right. So let me bring Harry Douglas and D. Wood back into the conversation here, because for those who weren't with us an hour ago, now let's just have a little bit of fun. If we're saying that Steph Curry and the window in Golden State is only this much open, then we're saying maybe we've seen the last of this legendary player, maybe the most beloved superstar in NBA history. And then LeBron, who is on the Mount Rushmore of greatest players of all time. Woj and Ramona gave us the answer to this yesterday, right? Let them team up next year. I say let's do it and enjoy watching it just once. Harry Douglas, what do you say to that?
Hell to the gnaw, hey. I do not want to see that, Greeny. I don't want to see it. I love that we have two guys that are major pillars in basketball history, right? Not just of the last 5 years, 10 years, but the history of the NBA. I do not want to see those two guys play against each other. You see LeBron right there talking smack to Steph Curry. Steph Curry's got the best of LeBron. LeBron's got the best of Steph Curry. I love that competition, man. We had Gary Payton on ESPN Radio yesterday on Freddie and Harry, and I drove it out of him. I said, I know you're a competitor. He said, yeah, man, I don't want to see it. I would have never teamed up with Michael Jordan. I'm trying to go at Michael Jordan. I feel the same way when it comes to these two superstars in the NBA. I want to see these guys compete at the highest level versus one another. I don't want to see them join forces and create something crazy. I really don't.
I get it. I hear it. But they're not going to compete at the highest level, D. Wood. That's the days of them meeting in a conference final. These experts that we have on here are telling us that those days are behind us. D. Wood, let's see them join forces like the Marvel. Let them get together. Superheroes. What do you think?
Some old ass superheroes that those guys would join together.
The Avengers.
Like, yeah,
they are Avengers. These would be Avengers towards the end of their career. And I would get Robert Downey in here and whoever we want, and let's get Steph and LeBron together. One last Avenger like run. You like it or not?
So it'd be Steph, LeBron, and then who else? Because the team would be dismantled. Even if that happened, what kind of team would you have around both of those guys? We would just be wanting to see it just to see it. Like, would that team even be competitive as far as the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers?
Yes. You, Steph, LeBron, you, me, and Zach could be competitive against anybody we want. Zach, oh, you like it or not?
I don't think that team you just outlined would have much of a chance, frankly. My vertical isn't what it used to be. And Steph and LeBron are approaching a combined age of 80 years old. Like, that's where we're getting to. So, look, what team would they have around them is the question. Would it be fun? Sure, it would be fun. But, man, I was at all those finals. Four finals in a row. I was at the game in Cleveland when LeBron blocked Steph Curry in the 2016 finals in game 6 and sneered over him. I was at all those games. I love the fact that they've been circling each other all this time. Let's circle each other in California on different teams for the next couple of years.
Monica, you're my last hope.
Greeny, I actually don't hate it. I'm with you. Like, as separate entities, meh, in terms of their opportunity. But for what this would mean historically, now, I do agree with Woody and Lo. You got to figure out what the rest of that team looks like for sure. But this idea, we get it for like a season, maybe two. Like, all right, whatever.
Let's do it. Let's see it. Let's make it happen. Have their people call my people. I'll do everything in my power. All right, coming up, we are 25 days until the start of NFL free agency. I have the definitive list of the five teams that absolutely have to get it right next month, or they will have no chance. That's next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back on Get Up, and with the offseason upon us, let's do some bold predictions. All right, D. Wood, let me hear you. What's your offseason bold prediction?
2024 will be Dak Prescott's last season with the Cowboys. Yeah, listen, you see all the chatter with all the family members talking about Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott contract situation looms large, you know, in this whole equation here. So, listen, Dak might look at everything and survey the landscape and say, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to take my talent somewhere else where I'm more appreciated.
A lot of people looking at it that way. I like it. Harry, yours is also Cowboys focused. Give me a bold prediction.
Yeah, that Jerry Jones is going to sign Derrick Henry in the offseason. We talk about a guy 5 of the last 6 years, over 1,000 yards. The 1 year he didn't, he only played 8 games and still had 937 yards and 10 touchdowns. He is not slowing down anytime soon. He can be an enforcer that the Dallas Cowboys actually need to provide balance for that offense.
You don't need to tell me this one twice. I love it. Tim, give me a bold prediction.
Well, listen, Greeny, you had such an exciting offseason last year with all of the Aaron Rodgers talk. I think it's only fair that you get more excitement this offseason. A trade for Davante Adams from the Raiders to the Jets because they're even more all in with Aaron Rodgers coming back off of that Achilles injury.
Oh, you're singing my song. Now you are singing my song. Let him and Garrett fight it out for who gets to wear number 17. I'm all in. And that actually brings me perfectly to today's green list. So I give you one every single day. Today's, with the free agency period beginning just a little more than 3 weeks from now, these are the teams, the five teams with the most pressure to get it done in March, or they will have no chance starting in September. And number five, I'm putting the Buffalo Bills. They've got the quarterback, but the question that came from last year was that their best chance? In this iteration, they're going to have to rebuild around Josh Allen at some point. Does that have to start now? If they want to still have a Super Bowl caliber team, they have Stephon Diggs decisions to make. They have a bunch of defensive decisions to make. This is a colossal offseason in Buffalo if they're going to give this group one more run. At number four, you just heard D. Wood talking a lot about the Cowboys. Dak Prescott has them directly over a barrel. Here's the barrel. Here are the Cowboys. That's where Dak has them. With his contract, with his no trade, with his no franchise tag, he decides what happens for them. If they don't play that thing right, they will have no chance of going any farther last year or next year than they did any of the previous. At number three, I'm going to put the Pittsburgh Steelers because I think the expectation there is to start moving it forward. They don't win playoff games. They win regular season games. They don't win playoff games. And the reason is they haven't had a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger was in his prime. Can they get that right? Is it Justin Fields? Is it Russell Wilson? Is it a draft pick? They take somebody at number 20. That is a colossal decision at Pittsburgh. It could easily determine what their near-term future looks like, including the future of their legendary coach. And number two, Tim was just talking about the Jets. The Jets have to get it right in and around Aaron Rodgers. At this point, the only thing we can say is they never got a chance to see what Rodgers could have done for them. And if they don't get that offensive line fixed, and I mean thoroughly fixed, they'll never see it. And if this coming season goes south, that'll be it for Rodgers. That'll be it for Saleh. That'll be it for everybody. The Jets have to get this problem solved in March. But then number one, look, the Chicago Bears own the NFL draft. Assuming they trade Justin Fields, which everyone thinks they're going to, they will have more picks in the first two rounds than practically any team we've seen in recent years. And the assumption is they will take a quarterback at number one, most likely Caleb Williams. That means that the scrutiny on how Williams plays relative to how Justin Fields plays wherever he winds up will also be enormous. Are we living in a world where we don't think it's possible that Justin Fields winds up having a better career from this point forward in Atlanta or Pittsburgh or somewhere else than Caleb Williams does in Chicago? That certainly doesn't feel impossible to me. And thus, that is enormous pressure on the Chicago Bears. Those are the five teams. Again, they all have different issues. They all come at it from different ways. But Tim Hasselbeck, to me, those are the five teams that if they don't get it right about 3.5 weeks from now, they don't have any chance when we get to the fall.
Yeah, I would just say, look, I think you have a really good list, and I think it's hard to argue anybody off of it. That being said, I look at Pittsburgh. Look, I think Pittsburgh kind of has a lot of options. Like, they could sit there with Kenny Pickett. They could get Ryan Tannehill. Maybe it is Justin Fields. People are already putting Russell Wilson there. Like, I think there are end up being options there. They've already made a change at offensive coordinator. Nobody questions whether or not Mike Tomlin.
I feel like you're making my point for me, Tim. They've got to get that right. There was talk. Look, we all understand. I know that the fans don't get to make these decisions, particularly in an organization as stable as the Steelers have historically been. But this felt for the first time like the end of the Mike Tomlin tenure might be in the foreseeable future. And if they don't get the quarterback thing right, then they might wind up changing coaches, which is something they do like once every 20 years.
I think they could win six games and he's back if he wants to. I don't think that Mike Tomlin is under that type of pressure at all because of the track record of success. Now, listen, look, they want to be good. They're not happy with being over 500, which has kind of been their story. So, like, I'm not saying that you're crazy to have him on there. I just, like, to me, I would put a team like the Patriots on that list before them. They just parted ways with an all-time great coach. And, look, they kind of forced Gerard Mayo to keep a lot of the people that were still there. Are they going to be any better? I don't know. They've got a big question at quarterback.
Interesting. Harry, you want to jump in here? Go.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why the Philadelphia Eagles is not on this list. We just seen them replace both coordinators. Also, the running back position, their running backs are free agents. Defensively, they need linebackers. They need a nickel corner. They need safeties. They have a lot of questions still, I think, amongst their football team. This is the same team that started 10-1 that had a complete collapse at the end of the season, losing six of the last seven games, including the playoffs. So I would put the Philadelphia Eagles on this list as well.
I think that their pressure starts in September, Harry. I don't think their problem is as much personnel and getting those decisions right as it is whether the chemistry there has just been irreparably broken, and I don't think anything they do in the next 2 months tell us the answer to that. We'll have to figure out in the fall. We didn't talk about the Jets in all of this.
I was about to.
And D Wood, that's your area of expertise, is that offensive line.
Yeah, the thing I like about your list is the top two teams, because they're there for two different reasons. For the Jets, it's the immediacy of, yeah, we got to get something done, because our guy Aaron Rodgers doesn't have much time left. Okay, and we all know the problems with the Jets. It's the offensive line, the offensive line, the offensive line. They have a championship-worthy defense. They have weapons on offense. But if you can't protect the quarterback, you have no shot. And Aaron, you can't waste Aaron Rodgers' window right now. So the Jets are absolutely in that position. And the Chicago Bears, this is more about, if we make the right move, we're setting ourselves up for a decade plus.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the situation with the Bears at the quarterback
position. Let me very quickly, asking for a friend on the Jets here. Can you rebuild an entire offensive line in one offseason? They may need four players on that offensive line. Can they rebuild an entire – is it possible to rebuild an offensive line in one offseason?
It's tough, but I'm going to say yes, because the offensive line, this is about as deep as a offensive line draft that we've seen in quite some time.
Yep.
So they'll have plenty of players and opportunities to rebuild this offensive line.
Including one at number 10. There should be a big bookend tackle sitting there available for them. All right, we have more to do here, and then First Take will take over. The Lakers got a big win without LeBron last night. Have they finally found their identity? You'll hear from Stephen A. and Molly and Monica McNutt and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN. Hey, this weekend, MetLife Stadium will host the NHL's next two outdoor games on ABC and ESPN+. The Stadium Series, Saturday Flyers-Devils, Sunday Rangers-Islanders. If you are in attendance, you might be fortunate enough to see Damian Woody.
Yeah.
Which day are you going? You going Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going to Sunday, the Rangers-Islanders. Myself, Saquon Barkley, and DeVito, the quarterback from
Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito, yeah.
That is some star power.
Yeah,
that should be some fun, and you can see all the action with us here. Outstanding day. Thanks for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.